Let's talk about bikes and how China is moving away from being that kingdom of bicycles. Basically, what's going on now is when we look at some old photos taken in the 1980s, we can always find people riding bikes in China. At that time, China was called the kingdom of bikes, but now less and less people still ride a bike. What's behind that? So tell me more about our love for bikes in the future, apparently, and what's going on right now? What's changed?
Well, indeed, China was once called the King of Bikes in 1980s and before. And during that period, people rode bikes to go to school, go to work, or even go to the markets. You could always see children sitting on the back seat of their parents' bikes. I was actually one of them. I can remember the happy times when I was sitting on the back seat of my father's bike when he came and pick me up from the school. So it seems that Chinese people would ride a bike to go everywhere. A bike was even regarded as one of the three must-have appliances for marriage in 1970s, together with a watch and a sewing machine. However, now we see fewer bikes on the street. Taking Beijing as example, according to a report published by the Beijing News, in 1986, over 62.7% of Chinese people rode a bike when they went out. Now the figure dropped to 12.6% in 2014. Instead, 31.5% people drove, nearly 29% people took bus, 19.4% people took subway, and 6.2% of people took taxi. That's a huge change there.
Yeah, I think the first thing to look at here is the fact that disposable income has gone up since that time. So of course you'd see more people driving cars, and probably even taxis. But at the same time too, the first thing, in our research, we've definitely got a lot of reasons of why this is happening, but there's one that I personally wanted to say from my experience of riding a bike in Beijing, is it is chaotic. It is not a relaxing thing to do to ride a bike in on the streets. Many times you'll have bike lanes that are cluttered with cars parking on the side of the street, so you'll have to move out of the way, and at the same time you got scooters speeding by you. Traffic and people walking back and forth and all these cars going through as well in all these intersections. I often feel like it's more stressful to take a bike than it is to just walk. At least when I'm walking, I have the sidewalk, which is predominantly pedestrians on that sidewalk. But then when I'm on the street, with cars that are going really fast and sometimes not checking their right and left sides. I also have, cars pulling over to the side right in front of me. And it's just, to ride a bike now, I feel like you really have to have your wits about you, almost more so than someone who's driving a car. Because when you're on a bike, you got nothing around you to protect you. If you get hit, it's game over. And in many
Or
cases.
just get hurt.
And I don't see a lot of people that are riding bikes here in Beijing wearing helmets at the same time too. So there's that safety concern
Well,
that
that's
I have.
really interesting. I've never thought about wearing a helmet and while I'm riding a bike, and admittedly, the last time I rode a bike was more than 10 years ago when I was still in middle school in the good old days. I think for a lot of people, if it's a convenient distance, that's it's actually an awkward distance, that it's too long to walk but too short to take a taxi or go by car, then you should
It's
ride
perfect for a bike.
bike. But yeah, still, I think it's quite interesting. Just listening to Yu Yang offering us the breakdown of, at least in Beijing, how people are commuting to places, you can see that about half of the people are taking public transportation. So can I interpret it as that the fall in the number of people cycling around could be attributed also to the development of public transportation.
You make a really good point. So, you know, 24% of respondents say the public transportation is cheap and convenient nowadays, but that hasn't always been the case. How in the past, people had fewer choices. I mean, let's take China's first subway line, Line 1, which started operation in 1971. At that time, the line had very few stops and could not reach many places, so it just wasn't a feasible way to get around. And people could take buses at that time too, but there were fewer bus stops and whatnot. So if you wanted to make basically your own most convenient route through the hutongs in the streets of Beijing, it made more sense to ride your bike instead of taking a bus, which maybe would have been less convenient because the routes were so restricted to certain areas, as I understand.
Oh, yeah. And also, in the past, it's fairly expensive to take a taxi, and people could not afford the expensive transportation means. For example, after the opening up and reform started in 1978, Beijing established some state-owned or collective-owned taxi companies. Most of the cars they owned were foreign brands, and they were used to send foreign guests. The taxi charged 0.8 yuan to 1.2 yuan per kilometer at that time. But at that time, the average income in China was only 762 yuan a year in 1980. So ordinary citizens could not afford the taxi fee. But now it is different. People have more choices. And the public transportation is relatively, compared to people's income, is cheap and convenient. So many people just don't bother to ride a bike. And another important reason is the long distance. Due to the high housing price, many people live far away from their workplace, and it's impossible to ride a bike for commuting every day. So they prefer a public transportation.
Yeah, actually about that. So there's that huge distance. 34% of respondents chose not to ride a bike because the distance is too long. And in a city like Beijing, that makes sense. I mean, we've talked now about how prices of places to live have skyrocketed, especially in the center of the city, forcing people to live outside the ring roads, which means that riding a bike that kind of distance means you have to get up in the early hours of the morning, maybe during the winter, when there's gale force winds outside, and, you know, so riding, waking up early, riding that bike for an hour just to get to your job in the center of the city, and then riding it back just doesn't seem feasible. And now there's public transportation that'll protect you from the elements and will get you there faster. So that's, I mean, looking at that, it just seems like it's a good option.
And also, He Yao, maybe your experience of riding a bike is far away in your memory, but based on the rides and my recent experience on riding a bike, it's not that pleasant, really. If the road has doesn't have a special lane for the bike riders, you know, the bike riders have to compete with all the other kind of e-bikes and other automobiles on the bike. It's quite intense. And even if the road has special lane for bike riders, you know, sometimes some drivers always park their car on the bike lanes.
Yeah.
And the bike riders are forced to compete on the road again.
Yeah, it's particularly a battlefield on Chinese streets. And I think for the bike riders, you're often in the disadvantageous position. You're the weaker party in this battlefield that's trying to fight for survival, and that is what I see every day. But can I please remind you of one fact? That is, bike lanes, correct me if I'm wrong, is mostly a Chinese construct, because I've lived in London and other cities, and there's no bike lanes, and the streets are far narrower. And I don't think the bike riding population is as huge, but I remember in London there were tragic news, and it happened over, well, it was news in 2010. 2010 for sure, that loads of bikers were hit by truck lorries because these massive trucks simply can't see these drivers can't see the bikers, and with the narrow streets, when the trucks turn, the bikers are definitely in the dangerous blind spot that sometimes get run over. Anyway, my point is that having these bike lanes, they're supposed to be a good thing, but they don't seem to really have managed to serve its purpose these days. Is it a matter of Chinese society changing, or should something be done to make these lanes work better?
I think it's actually a condition that's facing all old but very mega city or important cities. Space is already so limited. I mean, you take New York City, like all the lanes on that, all the road is being used to be taken up by all the lanes because there's already too many cars. So to be able to make room for just that niche group of people that maybe isn't a very small portion of the population that is taking those bikes, maybe it's just not feasible. It's more important to give more room to these cars to be able to move around each other in these big cities where most people are using cars. Because let's take, like, biking is sounds really nice. But a lot of us, when we think about biking, we think of a summer day, we're biking through the park, that sounds nice. Biking in the streets of London, in the streets of Beijing, it's cars honking, it's people swerving in front of you, it's traffic lights right and left, so it's not like an endless long street that I can just peacefully zone out and ride my bike. It's stop and go traffic just like a car would do. So it's stressful, and it's just many times, even with the weather, I mean, take London's weather, for example, probably not a lot of people are biking in the winter, especially during the wet season. I'd say during the winter in New York, when it's snowing, people are not putting, you know, chains on their bikes so that they can, like, struggle to get to work. It just, you know, it doesn't make sense. So I think actually this is something that faces a lot of really big metropolitan cities.
But if the country keeps moving out the bike lanes, the gradually the people, more and more people will be discouraged from the bike. But if the country can go the extra mile and provide people more space for the greenway of transportation, then people will feel encouraged. I want to take Netherlands as an example. Well, apparently China owns a larger number of bikes than Netherlands, but in terms of per capita, the Netherlands has the Dutchman owns 1.1 bikes, but in China each Chinese owns 0.4 bikes in average. And also, according to a report from the New York Times, the ratio of transporting on bikes took up 32% in Amsterdam. However, in Beijing the figure was only 12.6% in 2014. And also, it seems that the bike riders enjoys more privileges on the road, and the bike lanes are wide enough, and it's if it's a mixed road for both bikes and the cars, bike riders have privileges over car drivers. So this country is promoting this concept that is, bike riders are always right, and they can always enjoy the favorable policy.
I get that, but I mean, how, I don't know, I went to Amsterdam, it was a nice city, but that's not Beijing, that's not New York, and that's not London, okay? Maybe it's feasible for that population and under the circumstances there for that to happen, but in these cities like Beijing, like London, like New York, I think they're 10 times more chaotic, more hectic, and just, that's not the kind of atmosphere people want to ride bikes in.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I think even in, you know, I don't know what the public transportation like in Amsterdam, what it's like, but maybe the city's just not as big as some of the other bigger cities, so it just makes sense to be able to ride your bike around. But imagine riding your bike as your main mode of transportation to meet your friends or do social activities or all this stuff, go to work in Beijing. It is a massive city. Amsterdam can't compare to that kind of infrastructure we see here in Beijing.
Yes, I think you make a good point. And also, I want to make a point that I can see, I can understand why the government wants to promote green transportation, and I think it's a great idea, and but riding bikes is supposed to be part of it. But we need the clean air that you want to
Ooh, and that's
cycle in.
very
Good
good
point.
point.
Beijing and so many cities in China, including all those nice places in Hebei province. We love these neighbors. And imagining cycling in that kind of air, I don't want to encourage anybody to do that. So basically, I think, yes, we want to make our cities cleaner, greener, and there is a prerequisite, and that is making people want to cycle outdoors, and that includes having clean air. And those parties related to, well, that are making a bad contribution to this, I think need to really buckle up. And now it is, I think it's time to see some change. And also, I'm a little worried as winter time is, around the corner here, and we'd like to see more clean blue skies for sure. You're listening to Roundtable with myself, He Yang, Ryan Price, and Yu Yang.